Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's a guy whose podcasts are slightly less dry than maggot cheese. I am Rob's sister, Nino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our amazing race coverage here as we are talking about episode number 7 of season 33 of The Amazing Race with our amazing race panel as our teams raced through beautiful Corsica here on non-elimination leg of the Amazing Race, of course. Back with us is our chief Amazing Race correspondent. Please welcome Jessica Lise. Jess, how are you?
Doing okay, Rob. I hope you guys are okay with me being on the StreamYard. I understand I'm wearing glasses and I'm given to understand that this makes people like really hideous to look at and that, you know, it's almost like I shouldn't even be on camera. I could turn my camera off if it makes you more comfortable.
No, quite. I heard quite the opposite. I heard that the glasses are sort of, for the ladies. That's why that's what Penn said in the episode last night.
Yeah, I mean, these things have come in handy for the ladies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. There you
All
go.
All right. Well, that's not what Dorothy Parker says.
All right. Jess, good to have you here back with us. And of course, to talk about everything, please welcome in, give it up for Mike Bloom.
Well, hello there. It is me, the Diver Bloom.
Diver Bloom, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I just went out looking for 10 fish. Oh, so many different colors here in Corsica.
Is this right? Is this what we have? Is this correct?
What do you mean?
These 10 fish that we picked out, Jess and I, are they the right fish?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you meant, am I correct?
No, apparently not.
No, more likely no, especially the accent. But I'm so sorry. You mistook the Jamaican fish for the Antiguan fish. Unfortunately,
which one's in the EU?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the, yes, I'm not going to give that away. What do you think I am? Some sort of cockamamie handling you with kid gloves, UK judge? No, I'm Corsican. We are intense. We eat cheese with maggots in them.
Corsica Diver Man, how come you're the only person in this leg of the Amazing Race that doesn't have any refreshments for us?
I mean, listen, I live in a refreshment, right? Water, water true. Everywhere and not a drop to drink. That's what they say. I'll show you my own concoction.
Please. I'll pass. Okay. All right. Corsica, non-elimination, I guess as expected. I don't know. Did we think that the teams have picked up on this pattern yet?
I don't know. I honestly would have expected it. It might explain why they were just sort of like meandering through the second half of the episode.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that, I mean, this really harkens back. I think we talked about this in a previous podcast, right? To like the OG seasons when there was always a non-elimination at final 6, final 5, final 4, final 3. And so theoretically, you could sort of say, yeah, but I'll run a little bit slower. Maybe give it 90% instead of 100% because we know that we're going to come in last. And back in the day, there was no penalty for coming in last on a non-elimination leg. That's why they had to institute all these things throughout the years. So, I mean, I would imagine you do a bit of the math, though I do wonder, like, was it this idea of how the race could end at any time, right? That like they weren't necessarily told how many legs were in it. So they're like, oh, I mean, the next three could be elimination legs and we're just going to end early versus, oh, we know we're going for, you know, 11 or so legs. So therefore they have to pad it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yo row, right?
Yeah. You only row once.
You only race once.
Or unless for the Globetrotters and it's Yort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You only race thrice.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because
that was a James Bond movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it will be. It will be. Just at the end of the race, we saw where, Arun and Natalia and Lulu and Lala are clearly fourth and fifth place, but are still working together up until they get to the nets. Did that strike you as odd?
That did strike me as a little bit odd. Although at a certain point, you might just be feeling like this is inevitable mm-hmm. and I'm just going to enjoy the company.
Yeah.
Or it could be a thing like, I think I'm going to beat these people in a foot race, which Lulu and Lala may well have felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We saw Arun and Natalia. They came in fifth place again, last in this group, just behind Lulu and Lala. But it was just but 2 weeks ago, Phil dressed down Arun and Natalia on the mat. And they had this conversation.
And will I be seeing you last in the next leg?
No, you will not see us last in the next leg.
Absolutely no.
Okay, well, they did keep their promise. They did keep their promise, yes. They were not last for the next leg.
I was about to pull out these. So that was a lie. That was last season, right? They were saved like twice, I think, by non-elimination legs.
Two non-eliminations and the mega leg.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but they were ultimately eliminated in the mega leg.
Yes, they were ultimately eliminated, but the mega leg was basically a cheap version of keep on racing.
Okay, here's what I want. Okay, we expect an elimination leg in the next leg of the Amazing Race. I want to see Arun and Natalia survive next week's episode. First,
that's
second, third, fourth.
For.
Okay.
Well, did Phil make them promise?
They didn't promise this time. I think that, you know, it's almost like, you know, once the, now they know they can walk all over Phil, you know, that he didn't eliminate them this time. On principle, he should have eliminated them. If I see you in the last place one more time, now I want to see Arun and Natalia make it through next week and then get to the non-elimination leg and say, well, I guess sometimes we get fourth chances.
My goodness. I mean, they call themselves the Cats with Nine Lives and like, absolutely, man. They're like Rumpelteazer and what was the other one's name?
Mungo Rob? Jerry.
Of course you remember it. Mungo Jerry is very well aware of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are those the cats that steal the eggs?
They were the ones that robbed that place with the big jewelry.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but we know tomcats, like their primary source of sustenance, eggs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Arun and Natalia live to see another day here on The Amazing Race, despite their third last place finish of season 33 of The Amazing Race. All right, let's go through the leg. Again, not the most exciting week on The Amazing Race.
This was by far the worst week. I think
even worse than the first two.
Yeah, because I think the first two at least had some interesting things going on with like the team shuffling around and like getting to know them. This really was, and I think this was really, really hampered. Honestly, I think the crux, the Achilles heel of this leg is the whole mechanic of the group leavings. Because I think when you group up teams leaving after one another, it incentivizes them to stick together. And self-driving proves to be one of the big X factors when it comes to the Amazing Race, right? As we have experienced with Arun and Natalia, it can really throw teams in the front of the pack or the back of the pack if they're driving by themselves. When you essentially create an incentive and a device for teams to follow each other in a group of two teams and a group of three teams, it prevents that idea of people, you know, straying from the pack and getting lost and possibly throwing the placements into the fray. Obviously, the chief complaint about this episode is that outside of Arun and Natalia and Lulu and Lala swapping places, nothing changed between the two legs in Corsica. And I do think the main thing that's testament to that is the fact that because they left in two big groups and pretty much stuck to those two big groups for the entirety of the leg, there weren't many opportunities for teams to get out ahead or behind of those select groupings.
Yeah. Jess, do you think this is a matter of leg design here?
I mean, some of this is leg design for sure. These weren't tasks where you might be there for a while and let the other teams catch up. It didn't seem like there was any room to be stuck at a task for more than the 15 minutes it would take for that backpack group to catch up. Like we remember season 24 where this was.
We'd like not to, but we do.
Unfortunately, we do. Where you would have the teams on like, and this is just like kind of that, but concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
So there was really no way you were going to be able to, you know, be really good at a task and get ahead. Like everybody did the fish roadblock in one try,
mm-hmm.
fish detour in one try, excuse me. Nobody got stuck threatening to quit the cheese, mm-hmm. although that is surprising as we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the roadblock, like there was a little bit of a learning curve to it, but it was not exciting to watch and not terribly onerous on it to anybody.
Well, we had Aruna and Natalia and Lulu and Lala have to do it a second time, but they both had to do it a second time, and which was, I don't know how Aruna and Natalia, it looked like that Lulu and Lala went first. Did they put in the same answer as Lulu and Lala despite being wrong?
Well, that is something that I feel like this is how you game it out. Like you let the other team, like you do it with a team and you let the other team go first.
Right.
And if they get it wrong,
you've got another shot
to adjust. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened.
I don't know why. Like maybe they were just wrong in a different way. I didn't see which version they used.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think because their issue, right, was that they didn't divide and conquer. It was more so, okay, everyone remember the sequence. I don't know how that strategy compared to what Raquel and Kayla and Kim and Penn were doing, but maybe it was this thing where, even if, you know, Aruna and Natalia get it wrong and you're Lulu and Lala, you're sort of SOL just because, like, if you had the same answers as they did, like, there's not much deviation. You're not going to be like, maybe the zebra fish was actually a lionfish. I'm not entirely sure. But it is really, like, the alpha and the omega story of this episode, right, is having our top two teams and our back two teams working together. And we see the exact scenarios in which you do and do not work with another team on The Amazing Race.
But Jess, I thought it was way too easy to make the answers be some sort of like, you know, color palette, like you would pick out like your paint from of the different orders of them, because I kind of feel like, all right, I know this one and I know this one. Okay, I got it. I just have to go with the one that has these two in that spot.
Yeah, it should have been, it should not have been multiple choice. It should have been, here is a large stack of cards with pictures of fish.
Put them in order. Right.
Yeah. Oh. Put them in order. And here, there are a bunch in there that were not on your trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't make it look like the, what was it? Like Brain Quest, right? Those sort of oblong cards that had trivia questions on it that you would ask people. That's what it reminded me.
Yeah.
Of
it did look like Brain Quest.
Mm-hmm. And it was less so about that and more so about like slotting in, here are 10 fish colors, put them in the correct order.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in every season of Amazing Race. It's not like they don't know how to do that. I don't know. Maybe they just had like, they only rented the boat place for an hour and they needed to get people out of there quickly, which, you know, that doesn't make for a good Amazing Race either.
TikTok, please. I have wine to drink.
You know what? Diver guy, can I give you a piece of my mind? You ever go on one of these glass bottom boats? You can't see anything.
Hey, listen.
Overrated.
You have to look at what's inside the fish. You have to look at their hearts, their souls.
What, do you have an X-ray?
Yes. No, more in a metaphorical sense. You know, we are wise. We are the country that birthed Camus. So therefore, we know what it is like to look inside. Yeah.
Well, I'm having an existential crisis over here myself. Okay?
All right. I do apologize.
Sorry. All right.
Yeah. Aren't you a union diver guy? Don't you need a mandated break right now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. I must go eat this. The cheese will not eat itself. Come on, maggots. Here comes daddy.
I don't know if they have maggots in them. I think it kind of does eat itself.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. You have to eat it before the maggots eat it.
Yep. Hey, this maggot cheese isn't going to eat itself. Or is it? Yeah, okay.
That's another fun little testament to bring back from The Amazing Race. Hey, isn't foreign food gross?
Yeah. I hate it so much.
Gross food.
Right. Why don't you gag on this in front of the guy that made it?
It's an awful trope. And I mean, that guy kind of took it in stride because he was also kind of standing there like making fun of them for not being able to eat it. And I feel like if you absolutely have to go with the foreign food is gross trope, you got to be able to have someone there that is like, I'm not the gross one. You're the wimpy one because you can't do it.
You're a little baby.
Yeah, I think that's the trope. That's the
not an adult baby, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need a bully test judge. Like someone just stand there and be like, you little. Yeah,
those are the best judges on The Amazing Race, bully.
Pencils down guy much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You need the guy to be there, like, you know, only the best and strongest people in our country can handle this cheese. And clearly all of them could kick your ass.
You're a little wimp. You can't even eat the maggot cheese. Yeah, I'm
well,
right.
Ryan, it's, please, you're not the judge on this. Not the patience.
Yeah. I want to spend some time on this maggot cheese because there are a lot of interesting things about this cheese that I feel like we need to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, please, go on.
Yet. Okay. Yeah.
So this cheese is illegal in the EU.
Oh,
and I don't know what Corsica is technically part of France, which is part Frexit. Of the EU. Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Frexit.
Yeah.
How are they getting away with having this cheese here? Because according to Wikipedia, it is not legal for them to be. Maybe it's not legal.
The
to
Romulan
sell it.
Ale of France.
Could this be one of those situations?
I mean, that's like, absinthe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is one of those situations where it's not legal to sell it, but it's legal to make it and give it out.
What is
that
it, like
could
moonshine? Corsican
yeah.
moonshine?
Mm-hmm. Corsican you know moonshine.
This could be, this is an island, right? It's technically in international waters where things become a little more murky, much like the water itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting. And it is mostly, the reason it is illegal is because there is a really high chance of you to contract a foodborne pathogen from eating it, which should not surprise you because it's already got parasites in it.
Mm. Yeah. Story checks out. I don't know. Maybe the Amazing Race powers that be will shed some more insight into why maggot cheese, why now?
I mean, I know why and why now, because they're there and it's interesting, but it's, I really want to know more about like, how are they able to show this on television when it is technically not legal for them to be having it? Hmm. So also this is a Sardinian thing, not a Corsican thing, but Sardinia is like, you can like basically look across the ocean and see it from there. So I'm sure people in Corsica have it too. I read an article by someone who ate it and they said it tastes like a lot of soft European cheeses and it wasn't terrible. It just kind of, it had a weird mouth feel after you ate it. It kind of coated your whole mouth, which I almost find that grosser than the maggots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. How did they describe the dryness? That was Raquel's one comment, was that it was very dry.
Well, one of the things I noticed, I've never seen this before on The Amazing Race, was that so they got their cars, they got their convertibles. And I noticed as they got into the car, each
like what you know when you take a really nice Uber.
Yes. So I don't know if this was just happened to be a coincidence or because they knew they were going to eat the cheese. The cheese was so dry, and I wonder if maybe that's like, hey, like trust us, you're going to want to like for your own health, you're going to want to drown the maggots after this.
But it's a soft-ish cheese. I thought like if you smash it up and put it on bread, it shouldn't be dry. Maybe it was just like you got too much bread in the equation.
Oh, is the bread maybe was dry?
Sure. Yeah, maybe you have to go to the baker. It's the baker's problem.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it's a traditional French baguette, like that is going to be like, you know, that's the kind that like chews your mouth up like Cap'n Crunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's true. And so that's when the maggots just crawl on in and just like, you know, have a good time with it. Oh, speaking of those convertibles, that was cool. I'm a sucker for like little changes up in the things, but I love the use of the dash cams, right? Because obviously the usual method of doing things is that you have, you know, one team member in the front seat driving, one team member in the back seat driving so that your cameraman and your sound person can be in the other two seats. In a convertible, there ain't no room for that. And also the top's down. So sound is just like out of the window. And so I love this idea of instituting the little dash cams, as well as like having the follow car
right.
to film them as well. I thought it was a really unique way of filming it.
So I wonder,
giving them an opportunity to change vehicles
in between the blip on the Amazing Race. You know, Phil goes and shoots what, two more seasons of Tough as Nails. We have talked extensively about all the conversations in the damn van. Jess, do you feel like that they felt like, okay, well, I don't know exactly what the overlap is between Amazing Race crew and Tough as Nails crew, or if it's just like Phil has a knowledge base of how to do this now. That, do you think that any part of that was like, we've mastered this on Tough as Nails, we can do it on the Amazing Race?
Yeah, well, I think you might even hypothesize that sometimes Tough as Nails could serve as kind of a test bay for Amazing Race in that way. I mean, Phil is not as involved in the day-to-day production decisions, but he could have certainly said, oh yeah, we did this thing with the damn vans and it worked well. And I am amazed that it did work as well as it did, though, because I feel like putting a dash cam on a convertible and not having a sound guy in there, how are you getting anything that anybody is saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that they're probably mic'd with lavs on their person.
Yeah. And they then, must be, yeah.
And then the car, the follow car, is probably has the sound equipment in there, so they're able to hear what they're saying in the car while they're able to get the dash cam and also like the rear view cam from the, and then also like the follow car is able to still like film into the car.
I am picturing the follow car, like just with like the sunroof open and a giant boom mic going outside of the car,
like
which
oversized, yeah. Like the size of the car.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like just kind of covering, like there's a shadow cast in the car.
Big windscreen. Sure.
Yep.
Sure. Yeah. So again, technically, they outdid themselves to cover all of this, even if the tasks are not super exciting here in this hour of the Amazing Race. Just one last thing on the maggot cheese, that there was some talk about, like, this cheese is so gross.
I don't even think the dog would eat the cheese.
I don't even think the dog would eat the cheese, but Ryan and Dusty showed up and Dusty had no problem.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly. So that goes to show that not all dogs. Dusty is no discerning tongue. Though I think Ryan was the one, right? That's like, it's not much worse than what I had in prison, which is just, mm-hmm. If we needed ever a better statement on our justice system, I think that's what we need to look to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This
and
is what...
also, like, that's the kind of thing that I don't want people saying about local delicacies.
That's right.
That cheese is alive, but it wasn't really anything worse than you get in prison. So
okay.
About I mean, equal. I saw Shawshank Redemption. They had maggots in the food in Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for all the Tom Wamsgams out there that are researching an upcoming trip to a penitentiary, then you might want to research trying the maggot cheese.
Andy Dufresne crawled through 5 miles of maggot cheese before he got over to the other side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of the interesting things I thought in this episode, from an editing perspective, I feel like we got a lot of Raquel and Kayla.
Kayla, we are coming in first today. Today's our day.
Today's our day. You only need to come in first once. We got this. And ultimately, it ends up with them in second place. Should we be reading anything into this new development in Raquel and Kayla's edit?
If anything, the fact that they said they only need to come in first once
mm-hmm.
is kind of a, it's kind of a tell. They could have made a bigger meal out of that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we could have gotten them saying it like directly to the camera, not necessarily to each other. And they could have, you know, they could have spotlighted it a little bit harder, but I think their strategy, this leg, which is like, just glom onto the team that's in first place mm-hmm. and stick with them because there's three other teams back there. That's a sound strategy.
Mm-hmm. And then undercut them when they can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm of a couple of minds about this because it really does, you know, you really look at these as glaring underlines, right, as to a final outcome, especially when we get to the post pit stop thing where they're like, we're getting better every time. You usually don't have teams that are not in the hunt to win saying something about getting better every time exclusively in an interview. And so this was a really big underline for me. It's interesting that it comes out now. I do wonder if part of it is like, we had so much time dedicated to like Akbar and Sherry that now that they're gone, we can finally find out more about teams like mm-hmm. Raquel and Kayla, who were a little more under the radar in the first half of the race. That it's just like, okay, we're getting to know them more, right? Between them talking about losing their jobs, moving in with their parents as a result of their temporary unemployment, that it's just, part of me is saying it's just a bit getting to know you. Part of me is saying, yeah, this might be the Joey and Kelsey, like it was there the entire time. They're going to pull off a win at the end. I'm really not sure. And I guess that's a testament to just how the Amazing Race endgame is, how, for lack of a better term, kind of fluky it is at the final three, that really we've seen the best edited teams come in third place. We've seen some of the worst edited teams come in first place.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Let's talk about the detour from this week. Row, row, row your boat, or gently down the stream. Now, I don't have a good sense of actually which one was harder. I wonder if you didn't work together. I could see gently down the stream actually being a much more difficult task. Jess, does this new sort of rubric that we're working on of the task that sounds easier is actually harder? We saw a lot of the teams opt for gently down the stream. Sounds like a lazy river. Nice, relaxing afternoon. I think that one was actually probably more difficult.
Honestly, yeah, if you were by yourself, it definitely was. Like you said, Rob, if you have other teams working on it with you, you could knock it out a little bit faster. But also, I think if you've never been kayaking, you could look at row, row, row your boat and say, I don't know if I really want to do that. Oh, but they all have been kayaking. They just went kayaking. Maybe they were all saying, I don't want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's 100% it, because we saw basically, except for Ryan and Dusty, like everyone had problems with the kayaking. So if you start another leg and says, all right, go kayaking, you're like, nope, I did that once. Never again, please. You cannot make me go kayaking, even though I would say I think on paper, row, row, row your boat is the better option if you don't have cooperation, because it really does seem like, you know, Ryan and Dusty, with the exception of tipping their boat over, were just able to kind of power through it. So if you had the wherewithal to be able to row, row, row your boat, it seemed like the simpler and easier task to do overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like it was a fair assessment to say that the other task was going gently down the stream? But that body of water did not seem like it was a stream. I don't know what was gentle.
It looked gentle. It was a gentle ride, but it was clearly an ocean.
Okay.
All right. I think what you do is, what do? You do row, row, row your boat, or one fish, two fish? Would that be the way to go?
Hmm.
I mean, that doesn't really.
Yeah.
It doesn't gel, Mike. They don't fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be another Dr. Seuss thing for kayaking?
Yeah. And it's Dr. Seuss from France. I feel like if anything, I think you'd call the one where you had to pull the fish out, one fish, two fish, and the other one be red fish, blue fish.
There you go, Rob.
Oh, Rob, that's awesome. We should do that. I don't know if the Seuss, you know, society would have sued or sued for perhaps, you know, infringement and use of products. But like, if they got the rights to do so, I think that is a perfect name for the detour.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our teams. So Penn and Kim, they're going to work with Raquel and Kayla, and they're going to work on gently down the stream. We've heard earlier in the season about Penn's superpowers when just what task was that where he was assembling the puzzle in the first leg, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so Kim says Penn has an amazing memory, and we got to see that in this leg of the race. I recently did a podcast with RHAP contributor Jacob Sager Weinstein about six steps to improve your memory. And he outlined some different tactics that people can use to try to remember like long lists of things. And I think that what he suggested was very similar to what Penn ends up doing here of, okay, I got to turn all of the things we have to remember into something else that might be a little bit more memorable.
Right. And I think Sophie talked about this a bit as well, right? In one of the Survivor podcasts, when we talk about that challenge where you have to memorize symbols, right? There's often this idea of like, oh, turn it into a story, or like assign a letter to each one and then just remember a string of letters or a number as well. That was the real key to unlock it. It's like this associative memory almost. That it's not just rote memory of memorizing facts. If you have an association to it, then you're much more likely to remember it than just blankly reading it off.
Yeah. Although I have to say,
that's mnemonics.
Yeah. Some of the things that they were saying, like, okay, this is that. And it was like the Japanese flag. And it was like, they look nothing like a Japanese flag.
Yeah, I thought the Japanese flag is a white fish with a red dot on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a black and white fish. Yeah, I agree. Right. That was one that I sort of cocked my head a bit about.
All right. Well, whatever it took to get them to remember it. Again, if that's what they think the Japanese flag looks like, then that's a great way to remember it. Again, sure. These are not flag experts. We have established this earlier in the race.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Though I love this starting the one off as the purple fish was called Barney. I think that was very much like, only 90s kids remember purple Barney fish.
Okay. So we see Ryan and Dusty. They are going to be the only ones working on the other task. That they said that the other hard part about it was like pulling the fish up from the chain.
I imagine these are like, I don't actually know if these were like, I don't know, probably some sort of plaster fish or something. But I would imagine they were probably attached to a fairly heavy anchor to like still say submerged. And so I would imagine having to pull all that up to grab the fish is probably intense. But the hardest part for them was clearly Dusty's overexuberance, I would say, just flooding the boat with water.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's down to what the boat, like the construction of the boat, because if you were in a real kayak, that would not be a problem. The water just goes over the top of the boat and you're fine. Like you get a little bit in your lap, whatever. This boat, it was like a skeletal frame of a kayak.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you tipped it over, like it was like a giant bowl, and the bowl filled up with water. I've never seen a kayak like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, for Ryan and Dusty, that they were going to get wet, boy. That's what they said. And they certainly did, because they ended up in the drink, Mike.
Yeah, and Dusty was left dog paddling, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But they're able to get back up, right? The infamous Amazing Race edit of, oh no, what's happening? Cut to commercial, cut back from commercial. They're doing okay. I guess it was a little bit, more quality over function, to Jess's point, that like the big to-do about this kayaks were, they're transparent. You can see through them. But I guess maybe they sacrificed that in order to, not have water get sluiced into them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Ryan and Dusty, they had a little bit of panic. They flipped the boat over. They were able to regroup and they didn't lose any fish. They were able to get through it. They walked away from the task very, very happy. Here's Dusty.
Dude, you murked that, dude.
Yeah, dude, you murked that, dude.
What? You what that?
Murked. Yeah.
Murked?
Mike, you said it was a little murky. Yeah.
Yeah, murky water. So maybe that makes sense. Maybe he said murfed.
No, murked. You murked it. Yeah, the murf challenge would be if you had to climb up very high, then you murfed it.
Was it? Is it like a portmanteau of like magnificent work?
No. I think I actually looked this up on the Urban Dictionary just to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. Murked is short for like a mercenary. You came in there and you accomplished your task.
Ryan is a real Jack Reacher type.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, those guys didn't come back. those were the guys from the train. Yeah. But okay. So, dude, you murked that, dude. So hopefully we murk this podcast today.
Yeah. Is that the sequel to Dude, Where's My Car? Dude, you murked that, dude.
Dude, you murked that, dude.
I mean, was this before or after Dusty shook himself to get all the water off him?
It's right before, I think. Yeah. Okay. So meanwhile, Lulu and Lala and Aruna and Natalia, they're going to work together too. They had some poor timing. I guess they showed up right when the boat was leaving.
Yeah. So this is, again, like Raquel and Kayla vocalized perfectly at the maggot cheese, despite a little bit of drama, right? When like they were following them and Penn speaks his fluent French to get them there. And then they sort of like, they missed the turn and Raquel and Kayla don't say they missed the turn. But Raquel and Kayla basically vocalize, when you're at the front of the pack and there are teams behind you, it incentivizes you to work together. It does not incentivize you to work together when you are in the back of the pack. Because in that case, you know, what position are you getting yourself in? The best you're doing is putting yourself right in it with the other team, as opposed to the net positive would be if you work by yourself, you have a chance of leapfrogging them. Now, again, it works out in Lulu and Lala's case in that, you know, they are able to beat out Arun and Natalia. But like, it feels incredibly self-destructively selfless for the two teams that know they are in last place to be like, yeah, we'll just work together on this one. I'm sure Ryan and Dusty, you know, the requisite weak team that they are of this season, will surely get tripped up. And clearly we will be the ones that are not in last place.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I can think of is that maybe they were gambling that whatever the roadblock was, they would be better at it. But that's a big gamble. You don't want to add something else to your stress. You still have to do that whether or not you work with the other team.
Yeah, I have the episode open and I'm just looking at the scene where Lulu and Lala hand in their answer. We see they put up on the screen what Lulu and Lala got wrong. They do not put up on the screen what Arun and Natalia handed in. So I don't know if they all just went up at the same time and like said, here's our thing.
Yeah, and in that case, like we said, that's the wrong thing to do, right? If you're Arun and Natalia, you're like, Harry, you do your thing first, right? Like, you go see the Wizard of Oz, see if he melts you, and then I'll see how I play my actions based on that.
And just, didn't Arun and Natalia already learn this lesson the hard way in the leg that they were eliminated? Again, this is 19 months ago. Where Natalia, one of the things they learned was that she gave the answer to a bunch of teams on how to put the bagpipes together and said, and then they all left without her. And then she said, I can't be helping these other teams.
I mean, there was a 19-month layoff. Maybe she just forgot.
They forgot. They said they weren't going to do that anymore.
Oh, I did it again.
Man.
Yeah. Although, in this instance.
Bad habits die hard.
Yeah. I think that maybe there was just like a lack of confidence on both of the teams. They're like, okay, there's no way either of us are going to get this. We have to work together.
Yeah. I mean, that might have been it. Like, this is the only way we survive. But it's got to be awkward. Like, if you'd both choose the same detour and you're both just sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you get through that without like at least acknowledging the presence of the other team.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you do is, especially if you know you have a ringer on your team like Penn, the other person plays defense, right? They're getting in their face being like, can you tell me about where you were born? Like, what's the first memory you have? Have you ever fallen in love and just like really get personally into their business so that it distracts them from the fish outside while your partner is booking all the fish down in their brain?
Or you could even pretend you're working with them, have your partner do the fish duty, and you're just like, oh, I saw that one. That one was green and blue. Oh, and there's an orange one there. You guys remember these green and blue and orange? And then you start saying names of colors.
Does the fact that there was still a roadblock that had to come up change the calculus on this at all?
I mean, I think it does, because I think you have to assume, like, you know what I always say is, like, you really need to factor in, like, there needs to be at least one more task in front of you if you're going to do anything risky.
Because maybe it's like, okay, look, let's get through this, and then let's hope Ryan and Dusty got a flat tire, and then maybe they get eliminated on this leg of the race.
Yeah, Ryan and Dusty, who haven't finished lower than third place. They definitely did poorly on their task, and they got lost, and we're going to beat them in the roadblock.
Sure. We're grasping at straws here, but we see the bottom two teams. They go back, and this time, Mike, they're going to divide and conquer.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. There's four of them. There's 10 fish, fairly easily memorized, and yeah, they get it on the second try. What is interesting is we do see Ryan and Dusty. Now, they did get the tipped over canoe, but they did get back at about the same time as Arun and Natalia and Lulu and Lala got back from their first trip. So if we're talking about a balanced detour, it is unlike the kayak in that it did seem fairly balanced, not taking on that much water, and that it did seem to take fairly the same amount of time, provided if you do have some like natural human error that comes with pulling up the fish.
Mm-hmm.
I wish both of these tasks were 15 times harder, because they also had my favorite thing, which is they were right next to each other.
Yes.
And there could have been the opportunity, like one of these teams needed to be really bad at it so that they would have to switch.
Well, Jess, we've seen that a lot post blip. I think that all of the detours have been next to each other, where I feel like that. I wonder if there's sort of like one base this camp.
This is the first time I've actually seen them point at the, I guess the Switzerland one had also had the arrow pointing to each of the detours, but I like that. I think that that makes it more exciting, as long as it's not a total nothing burger of a task like these were.
And I think what it could have been more so was if we remember the first task from the first episode of season 32, right? Wasn't that where they have to like find the two color, the two matching fish, and then line up the lock with the right numbers to unlock it? Like maybe it was something more of like a two-pronged process, instead of like, oh, of course you got all the fish, because why would you have missed one of the fish when the task was to match them? You know, I'm talking about the rowing version. Then yeah, maybe if there was an extra step involved in there, it might have provided an opportunity to at least like change things up a bit, to not make 4/5 of the team refuse to do it just because they see the word kayak in it.
Right. You know, borrow something from Survivor. You know, retrieve a bag of puzzle pieces at every stop and then put your puzzle together.
Mm-hmm.
I think Amazing Race has literally done that task before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do the infamous fish puzzle that Jatia did, right? Where like everything only fits together in one way and all the fish have to intersect.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
We have all the plastic fish already.
How's this for a detour? And this is, again, kind of Survivor inspired. What if there's the detour is two different ways to procure the puzzle pieces, and then the final challenge is do the puzzle?
That's interesting. I really like that. If the detour is like truly two paths that then converge onto a central point, if it's like combining an additional task with a detour, I think could be very fun, and then really does help weigh that pros and cons thing of, you know, the final result, what is going to be the fastest way to that final result based on like your own personal preferences.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about the roadblock, where who's feeling knotted up? Probably everybody after eating that maggot cheese.
Except Ryan and Dusty, they have a foam roller.
They have a foam roller, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Dusty already has worms, so just add some maggots on top of that.
Got to be careful with that. You got to be careful.
Or okay. He might be happy because he's already taken his like deworming pills, so he's not going to have the worms.
Okay. All right. So Phil tells us a hole in your net can be bad for business. That's why we need the racers to fix some holes in the net. Penn's going to do it. Kayla is going to do it. This is when Penn is going to put on his glasses. Kim says, Penn, you're so good with knots.
Not.
No, was he an Eagle Scout? Because he gives Eagle Scout vibes.
Maybe.
Let me also just say, I know Penn is incredibly self-deprecating, right? I love his comment about how he has to put his glasses on every time Ryan and Dusty take their shirts off to make the balance and the force. But I got to say, I don't know, maybe like it's my own aesthetic. I think Penn looks really good in those glasses.
You like the glasses. Okay.
I really like those glasses. Like that's actually my preferred style of glasses, is like that thick rim. Like I have blue light glasses and I specifically requested that style. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the long face. I just really like the thick framed glasses.
Okay. I actually have a pair of those. I just couldn't find them this morning, so I have different ones on.
Yeah. Yep. This here's what Penn said. He said that.
Yeah. I mean, these things have come in handy. The ladies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I actually don't know what he means.
I don't like Amazing Race porn music.
Just like second week in a row, right?
Put that back on the show anymore. Three is not the charm.
Did they borrow that music from like Survivor rib music?
Well, I don't know. But Rob, if you play it again, does it not sound like the beginning of Freak?
Yeah. I mean, these things have come in handy for the ladies, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And doesn't then it kind of sound like it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see. Okay, here we go.
Man. You a freak, I'm a freak, let's get freaky all week. You a freak, I'm a freak, it don't have to be me. You a freak, I'm a freak.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes if you're a freak, you do know how to tie knots.
Fair point, Rob.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do you think Penn did so well in it?
Yeah. But Penn, I mean, this episode, he ties knots, he speaks French, has superpowers in terms of memorization. Penn might be a superhuman.
I mean, they are doing extremely well. Mm-hmm. They have never been in danger of getting eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, probably the low moment was when he had the clue. I was like, this was too easy. This can't be this easy.
That's true.
You have to have them
mm-hmm. as your pick to win. Like right now, they are the clear front runners.
Mm-hmm.
Even Ryan and Dusty are up there, but you know, they're probably going to go through a public place with squirrels and it's just all going to go to hell for them.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably even if you were going to like try to prognosticate, you know, Ryan and Dusty, Kim and Penn. Like, are Ryan and Dusty just in a slump right now?
I mean, I think they did not benefit from the fact that, again, things felt pretty hamstrung in this leg.
Get the foam roller.
Ryan and Dusty, yeah, where they had no opportunity to ascend past third place, right? Mm-hmm. Just because of the fact of the group departure and Kim and Penn and Raquel and Kayla working together for most of the leg, they had no opportunity to be able to pass them up. So I think Ryan and Dusty are probably still chalk number one, but Kim and Penn are very quickly becoming number two. I mean, let's look at the facts. There have been 7 legs so far. Except for the first leg, every other leg has been won by either Ryan and Dusty or Kim and Penn. I think we're mm-hmm. really getting into like a season 9 hippies and frat bros situation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Back and forth. Okay. So, all right. We see Penn is working on his knot. So is Kayla. Ryan and Dusty get there. They're going to go and work on it. I actually played that clip at the wrong moment. Dusty said Ryan murked this challenge.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't murk the other
he
challenge.
He didn't murk because they were doing it together. That didn't make as much sense. They flipped
more
the boat over.
More of a co-murk.
Yeah, this was the murk.
You murked that, dude.
I feel like any task where you're sitting quietly doing something small with your hands, I don't know if you can label that murking something.
You murked that net, dude.
Yeah, you murked that coloring book. You murked that needlepoint.
I mean, if there is one person to create excitement out of the most mundane activities, it is indeed Dusty. Oh. I don't know if you caught another Dustyism in the beginning of the leg where he talked about how, you know, we need to get back to what we know how to do, which is sticking together. And I think breaking our foot in front of other people is, I believe, what he said.
Wow.
So I don't know if he's prognosticating like a Dave and Connor situation, or maybe it's more like I'm going to break my foot in your ass in terms of like a physical threat. But that was another odd phrase that came across my plate this week.
Or maybe I'm throwing brakes on other people behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that could be it as well. Like I'm making other people brake because I'm so speedy. I'm weaving through the lanes.
Yeah, it's like a Mario Kart banana peel.
Yeah, or the shell.
Mm-hmm. We could throw it backwards. Sure. Okay. So, all right. Ryan, he's working on his net. Penn gets it first. Forgot he was wearing the glasses with the celebration that they waits for Kayla. Right? Do they wait?
No, they run off. I believe Raquel and Kayla, I think, they finish soon afterwards and they're like, oh, you know, they ran off in this direction. The Raquel and Kayla, Penn and Kim stuff really only culminates in the very beginning, right? Where again, Penn and Kim help navigate where to get to. They miss the turn. Raquel and Kayla make the turn. Kim and Penn are pretty peeved. Raquel and Kayla feel bad. They stick behind to wait for Kim and Penn after the cheese, and now everything is fine. So that is the short-lived drama of this episode of The Amazing Race.
Yeah, we got to get something in there.
Really hard up for drama this week. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's talk about the route info. Run to the next pit stop. Phil tells us, well, you've heard of the White Cliffs of Dover. Have we?
Yeah. It's
okay.
A thing.
I didn't know. What's so great about the White Cliffs of Dover?
They're the first thing you see when you're leaving the European continent to go to the British Isles. And they are, you know, there's a famous poem about Dover Beach. There mm-hmm. is, if you've seen the movie Help, there's a running gag about the White Cliffs of Dover.
Okay. I'm pretty sure there's also a song about the White Cliffs. It's one of those like 1940s, like wartime songs, but I'm pretty sure there's a song about the White Cliffs mm-hmm. of Dover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. As popular as Donald Wears Your Trousers?
I mean, it might have been the British equivalent.
More. Okay.
Donald Wears Your White Cliffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The White Cliffs of Bonifacio. That's where we will have our pit stop for this leg of the race. So get there and then race up and look for Napoleon to point you in the right direction.
We couldn't afford a sign. So here, sir. Here, Maurice, please dress up in this Napoleon costume and just point where to go.
Yeah.
I feel like a sign would have been cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so odd. It's like, look for Napoleon. Like, oh, it's over there. Also, I should not be here. I should be exiled.
Mm-hmm. I should be bowling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eating a giant bowl of ice cream.
I should be a Ziggy Piggy eating my maggot cheese.
Noted Napoleon impersonator, Billy Garcia was not available.
I forgot about the Napoleon Billy part. Sacre bleu, you have been eliminated.
So that's a deep poll, guys.
Very deep.
Only 90s kids will remember Reality Game Masters.
You can Google it. Okay. Just it seems like Napoleon was just like standing around and then you had to find him and then he would point to where to go.
I guess.
Seemed like I don't know. There's only one path, it looked like.
Yeah, it was like go up the stairs or go down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did love the directions in that I've not seen a more like climactic cut to an external shot of a pharmacy, I think, than the Amazing Race of like, oh, we found the pharmacy.
The pharmacy.
Of course, the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. That should guide us to where the pit stop is, to our assumptive first place.
It's mm-hmm. like half, that's more exciting than half the scenes in the Goonies. Oh, the pharmacy. We found the pharmacy. We found the pharmacy.
The alleged pharmacy.
Okay, so Kim and Penn, they make it to the mat. They are team number one. Here's some infusion from Stefan.
Is he like the Stefan the mixologist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plague had everything.
Yeah,
of course. This drink has everything.
Maggot cheese.
Sweat. Ceramic fish.
Said we wanted mac and cheese.
No. I refuse. That's not artistic enough. We're in France. We're in Corsica. We're amongst the limestone cliffs mm-hmm. of the equivalent of Dover. What do you think we're doing here?
Yeah.
We've got the Bonifacio fishing net. And that's when you have to sit on the dock and tie little tiny knots in a fishing net.
Yeah. Jess, has this been the booziest season of the Amazing Race?
Honestly, I've not seen many Amazing Race seasons where you had to do booze more than once.
Mm-hmm.
There have been ones where you have to serve beer and you're not allowed to drink it. And there was one where you had to do a shot of vodka off of like an ice slide. But
ice luge, yeah.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. not something that they've weave into the narrative in quite this way. And I'm all for it. Honestly, you know, I have long gone on record as saying we need to have more tasks where you have to do a shot every time you get it wrong.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe the alcohol was like, in case any of those maggots are still around, let's just, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think? There's like pesticide in there?
Well, it was alcohol.
Like malaria pills?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe. All right. Penn and Kim win a trip to Turkey.
Yeah, Antalya, Turkey is one of the world's like most visited tourist spots. Like randomly, Americans don't go there very often, but mm-hmm. I did a bunch of research on Turkey when we were thinking about going there. And now, of course, we don't really travel anymore, but mm-hmm. It looks like a cool place. They've got cool beaches. They have some really wacky looking hotels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Antalya, Turkey sounds like the protagonist in a children's book.
Or like a Batman villain.
What does Talia Turkey do to Batman, Mike?
Gobble gobble.
Okay.
Michael.
Then
the giant mouth, he gobbles him down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Raquel and Kayla, they are team number two. Okay. So they are pretty happy. Second place finish in a row for Raquel and Kayla.
I mean, good for them. Yeah, I mean,
good for them.
We mentioned this before, right? This is like the clip that they cut to ominously of like, hey, we're getting better. This couldn't mean something as short-sighted as they come in first next leg could possibly mean they come in first 4 weeks from now. But still, Raquel and Kayla, I mean, again, I'll say that it's been fairly clear since the blip that there is a top echelon of teams. And though Raquel and Kayla, I think, are number three in the power rankings right now, it's still a good spot. You know, that's guaranteed final leg if everything plays out right.
Yep. And we did have a little bit, I don't know if this is any foreshadowing, that Penn and Kim said, we want to go to the final three with Raquel and Kayla, but then we're going to beat them.
Yeah, this could be one of those meat shield situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because unlike last season, right, which was much more of a hand-picked final three in a manner of speaking, due to the strategic devices that were implemented, you can't really pick your partners on the Amazing Race. I mean, you quite literally can, but like outside of your initial partner. So, I mean, I do feel like one of the things that is missing from this season of the race are like the interpersonal dynamics. I feel like we got that a bit last week with how everybody felt about Ryan and Dusty, but this came out of nowhere for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that like Kim and Penn and Raquel and Kayla even spoke to each other on the race, let alone now having these conversations of, oh, we want to run in the final three together.
Yeah. Well, this is different from last season too, because there are three teams that are clearly a little bit better suited for the race than the teams behind them. And not that the other teams don't have really their own strengths and weaknesses, but it sure seems like you don't need a mind five in a situation like this race.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going to go to the final three with them anyway. And it's maybe it behooves you to pretend that that's how you wanted it the whole way.
That's interesting. I mean, I know that you can't ask Amazing Race teams this just because of their general niceties and because things are out of their control. But I do wonder if you ask like a Kim and Penn, who would you have wanted to go to the final three with? Would it be the same thing or would it be like, oh, Akbar and Sherry and Arun and Natalia, mm-hmm. you know, this idea of like, would you rather win with arguably worse competition or be in a more even squad of people that whose company you enjoy?
Mm-hmm. Would you rather win and be with teams that are not loved or lose and be with teams that you do love?
Or do you like the relationship with your teams that you have right
or
now?
Or would you rather eat cheese covered in mosquitoes?
Okay. Or do you enjoy the relationship with your cheese mosquitoes that at this
mm-hmm.
moment?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we get to Ryan and Dusty. They check in. They are team number three. It's all going to come down to Lala and Lulu versus Arun and Natalia. They both get to the nets. Lala and Natalia work on the nets. We hear that Lulu and Lala's dad actually worked on the ocean, Jess. So is this a five-hole?
It feels like you really, they should have been testing all of them like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Eventually, they both are going to get it. It's going to come down to a race to the mat. So Lulu and Lala, they stop and get directions. Arun and Natalia are left to their own defenses.
Yeah.
This could have been a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing is like, that's always the gamble in the Amazing Race, right? Especially if you're in a race for last place is, do you stop and make sure that you know the directions costing you precious time? Or do you run off, possibly risking the fact that you get lost, but also not wasting any time by asking for directions here? But it ends up working out for Lulu and Lala. We should also note here that I believe Arun and Natalia beat Lulu and Lala to the nets, but Lala passes Natalia on the roadblock. Natalia has a tough time with the nets. And so that's one of the few reasons I think why Arun and Natalia end up in last place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They seemed like it was a very close finish where Lulu and Lala are still at the mat when Arun and Natalia come up.
You never know, though. I mean, Jess, you might clarify this. I feel like especially nowadays, they probably keep them on the mat for like, I don't know, 15, maybe 20 minutes before the next team arrives. Because I think Phil wants to also sort of get the other team's reaction to that team checking in.
Yeah, I mean, they used to have it like all the teams were kind of hanging out there. And you've seen legs where a beloved team comes in last and then all the teams come out and like give them hugs and say goodbye to them. So I think they're not far away. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, go over to the craft services, have a drink, and we'll call you when the other team's coming so that we can have this moment. You could easily manufacture that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Phil talks to Arun and Natalia about how they are not been eliminated. They get so many chances. They will be back once again for another leg as the final five.
And an interesting note to end the episode on, as we get like a little bit of a conflict going on here between Arun and Natalia, right? Like Arun takes this very cautious idea of like, we've got so many chances, let's not pass it up. And Natalia's like, no, but we come into every leg like pumped, ready to go. Like, I know we can do this. And so I think Natalia is coming in, I think, with a much more like big optimistic attitude of like, we bring it every leg, we're going to succeed in this. But Arun's like, I mean, listen, I've seen this happen a few times before on this race. I think we need to be cautious about things.
Yeah. I think they might need an adjustment.
They need to reflect and examine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, it's the third time in this, in seven legs, right?
Phil is disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the greeter didn't have to go home this time, luckily. The greeter was there. That's progress, right?
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe the dog left in the leg where I think it was with Michael and Mo. Oh, no, it was when Arun and Natalia ended up finishing in last time.
Yes.
Maybe this time there was a dog attracted to the cheese and to the infusions of it all that it would never leave. It actually just stuck around the entire time, much to their chagrin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wanted to sniff Dusty.
Sniff his butt.
yeah, that's where they like to do it. That's for sure.
That is a thing they do.
Yeah, because the last time that they checked in at the mat, Phil had to say,
Natalia, you're a little late. In fact, so late that our greeter had to go.
Yep. So the greeter actually got to stay this time. All right.
Yeah.
And that's
maybe the pit stop was at Stefan's house, so that way he didn't have an excuse to go home. Right? It's like, no. It's happening in your backyard. This is a house party, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And that's Corsica.
Yep.
Yeah.
Certainly is.
Okay. So did we get the departure times? Is it the same groupings as this episode where it's going to be Penn and Kim and Raquel and Kayla are in the first group and the other three are in the back?
Looks like it.
Sounds like it. Okay.
I would imagine so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because otherwise Phil would have made a distinction of it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine the same thing. Now, it's going to be a little different because we are flying to another country. So at least in this case, it's going to be not necessarily like, hey, keep going and stay grouped together. We are at least in a different setting. So hopefully this means things will get shaken up a bit more.
Okay. Let me give the Amazing Race a pitch for the Amazing Race charter. Okay. We are going to modify the plane a little bit. Okay. First team to arrive, you are sitting in first class. Okay. You have seats, they recline. Maybe it's the seats where they have, you could lay down and sleep on the plane. Boom. Second to arrive, you are in business class. Okay. Okay. Still, it's pretty good. Pretty swanky. Not as good. You could still, maybe the seats don't go all the way back. Okay. Third group, you're in coach. Okay. You are sort of like, in with all the normies on the plane. And then the last team to arrive, no speed bump, but you are sort of like last row of the plane. Back by the bathroom, every time somebody goes in and out of the bathroom, they're bumping into you. You got to sit next to the bathroom the whole flight. It's not great.
I'll one up that. Last placed has to stay with the pets in the cargo hold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, be no problem for Dusty.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Dusty's already there.
He's already there. Ryan checks him in. Yeah. But for the other teams, yeah, that'd be, I think that maybe we'd be doing some stuff with the plane.
Yeah, like that. Or even just being close to the front. Because, for years, people would say you try to get the seats as close to the front as possible so that you can get off the plane first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think you're traveling with the whole crew here, and I think you're waiting for like the production equipment to come through and everything like that. So,
the first place team is going to do the thing where like as soon as the plane touches down, right, they're going to stand up even though they have nowhere to go, and they're just going to be chomping at the bit. So maybe just to reduce that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually an interesting question because I feel like that in the Amazing Race, you assume that there are other groups that have gone ahead. Do you think that the whole entire production traveled together from one spot to the next?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, by whole production, like they have a lot of field teams out there. So I would imagine that like those teams are certainly staying in their specific countries. But otherwise, yeah, I would imagine like Phil, you know, Bertram and Elise, you know, the general camera crews and sound people as well are probably all getting on that plane together. I mean, they rented a 757. They better fill that up if they want to, you know, make their money back.
Okay. All right. Next time, do we know where we're headed?
Greece.
Ah. Okay.
They go together to Greece.
Okay. All right. We're going to Greece, and we get teased that Raquel is going to have some problems putting together some sort of Greek food.
Yeah, it looks like dolmades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the grape, stuffed grape leaves.
Yeah, the grape leaves. It's something wrapped in grape leaves.
Yeah. And it seems like that we have, maybe, is this Amazing Race history? It looks like that Lulu and Lala are going to go check in at the mat before they have completed their tasks.
It's not history. It's happened before. It's at happened least twice. Before.
Okay.
Yeah, we've seen teams accidentally stumble upon the pit stop and realize that they missed the clue to go to the pit stop. We saw the case with Rachel and Dave from season 20, right, where they even got to the finish line and Phil was like, turn around and actually do the roadblock. So, yeah, we've certainly have seen it a couple of times over the course of the race, but not recently.
Not recently. Okay, so Lulu and Lala are about to join a very exclusive club next time on The Amazing Race. Anything else Amazing Race related to talk about this week?
There's really not a lot of Amazing Race stuff to talk about in general this week, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Mike, do we know how many weeks are left?
Yeah, so I believe we have 11 legs left. So I think this
11 legs left.
What? This is in Australia, yeah, Mike.
We're bringing everyone back. Michael and Mo are coming back. Yeah.
Are you counting the legs of the people that are on the show? Is that where you get 11 legs from?
Yeah, only 11 legs will be left of the race. No, so sorry. We have 11 legs total. So this was just leg seven.
Seven.
So Wednesday the 16th should be the first leg in Greece, which I'm assuming is going to be an elimination. So that takes us down to four teams. I'm assuming then we're going to have an episode on Wednesday the 23rd, which is going to be still in Greece. That is going to be our final four. And I think that's going to be a non-elimination, because then March 2nd, the week after, is going to be, I'm assuming, a two-hour finale where we're going to get our last two legs, the penultimate leg in Lisbon, Portugal, which is going to eliminate the fourth place team. And then, of course, the final leg back in the United States. So, yeah, I believe, what's that count? 3 weeks left of the Amazing Race?
Yeah. Okay, so you're expecting a two-hour finale on March 2nd.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have 11 legs to mm-hmm. fill. They could, you know, rejigger things where maybe they do a non-elimination leg in the penultimate leg, but it's been a very long time since we've had that. Not since the days of the surprise Final Four in Amazing Race 25 and 26 after we had that. So I would imagine they like to eliminate a team right before the finish line here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so yeah, we're closing in. I feel like that nobody's more tapped into CBS reality than Mike Bloom.
I mean, it really is like in like a lion, the month of March. Mm-hmm. So it's all really coming together. Like, we are in the middle of this superstorm at the moment. And I'm feeling a little windblown, but happy at the same time. I'm trying to murk it as best as I can.
Okay, you are murking it, dude. So have no fear. Okay.
Thanks, dude.
Jess, anything fun coming up for you?
Well, this week, ages and ages ago, I recorded a podcast with the great Mario Lanza for his Staff Picks podcast, and he finally was able to drop that this week. And so,
what film did you discuss?
We discussed the film, the 1999 film EdTV.
Yes,
with Matthew McConaughey, and it was really so much of that movie predicted what reality TV became, and so much of it was wrong. So we had a really good time talking about like what is something that they do that's completely radical in that movie that we don't think twice about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what is, you know, what did they get wildly wrong about it? And it was really, I haven't seen that movie, but it's pretty much since it came out, but I remembered loving it when it came out, and it mostly holds up.
Hmm. Okay.
So you can find that on his Staff Picks podcast. And I think you just search the Apple Store or the podcatcher of your choice and it will be there.
All right. Mike, what's coming up for you?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's appeal to like the main to do. Right. Yesterday, about 24 hours ago, I want to be sedated in Survivor content. Yes, that was a shoehorned in Ramon's reference. Mm-hmm. But the cast of Survivor 42 dropped 1 month prior to the premiere. Rob, you and I got together to do like quick 1 hour assessment about the cast, as well as talk about our own predictions as to like how much is going to carry over from season 41 to season 42. And then this morning, you and I got together for our first of three cast assessments in podcast form. Mm-hmm. I am doing interviews daily with the cast members of Survivor 42. Actually, at the time we are recording this, two are already out at parade.com, one with Chanel Howell, who is an executive recruiter, and one with Posho Recap's friend Daniel Strunk, who is a law clerk. So those are coming out two every day for the next 9 days. So if you're into Survivor, you want to learn a lot about these contestants, these are the places to go, on top of course, the coverage I'm doing of Celebrity Big Brother and all the stuff going on Posho Recaps. Probably most prominently, the Book of Boba Fett had its big finale yesterday. People had a lot of thoughts, and so it was myself, R. Philly, and LaTanya Starks made her return to talk all things Star Wars, which really is sort of like the subtitle for the show proper. So many, many things happening.
The Book of Boba Fett, all things Star Wars. Yeah, the catch-all for the Star Wars story of the week.
Yeah, like we sewed all the holes in the net, and now we're going to catch some Star Wars fish.
What you didn't know is that the Book of Boba Fett was an anthology.
Exactly. That it was like, I didn't realize this character was going to have a chapter in this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how they get you. Okay. All right. Well, boy, it's almost 3 o'clock. I've podcast with Mike Bloom about 4 hours so far today. What a wonderful Thursday this has been.
What a life we lead on the RHAP podcast.
For sure. Theme. For sure. Okay. Only the second of four podcasts for me today. I have the slop coming up. I'll be talking about lots of different subjects, too. I will be talking about all things sloppy from the world of Celebrity Big Brother. We're going to be live with that for the patrons of Rob's podcast today. I can tell you what time it's going to be, but it will already be over by the time that you are going to be listening to this podcast. But if you want to catch the replay, head on over to robinswebsite.com/patron, where Chappelle will join me to co-host the show. Our friend Josh Wiggler will join me to talk about his thoughts on Celebrity Big Brother, aka Wig Brother, and my wife, Nicole Sestrina, will join us to share some of her anecdotes of meeting different members of the Celebrity Big Brother 3 cast later on today. For that, make sure you subscribe to Rob's podcast so you don't miss anything we're doing with Survivor, Amazing Race, Big Brother, Joe Millionaire, and beyond. That's all at robswebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.